السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشهد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، سبحان الذی اسرا بعبده لیلا من المسجد الحرام الى المسجد الاقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا انه هو السميع البصير. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، يا ايها الذين امنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاه ان اللہ مع الصابرین. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers or sisters listening at the madrasa and those listening at the receivers, let us try and make some place for those people that are standing there. Come little forward, they'll find place inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will reward you all, make place inshallah for us in Jannat, we make place for others here. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's fazal, His ihsan, that He blessed us with life and another opportunity to listen to something about Deen. As far as this talk on Mi'raj is concerned, just to inform you that this was one of the talks that I really enjoyed giving in my 40 years. I returned to South Africa in 1969, and since that time we have been giving talks on the different aspects of Deen. And one of the bayans that I really enjoyed giving was the bayan on Mi'raj. It is one of those greatest ni'mats that was given to the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam through this Mi'raj of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. The greatest ni'mat was the ni'mat of namaz. But Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, it is told that in this world the greatest gift that he was given was the gift of Mi'raj. And in the akhirat it will be Maqam Mahmood. These two are the greatest gifts. So I have to stand and give this bayan for about 2 hours and sometimes even more. I was young, fit, healthy. And the people who were listening also were people who were really interested in listening. And in fact, after the termination of the bayan, sometimes they used to say you should have carried on. But of course we know that in these days and with our mizaj and nature and temperament now, if somebody has to give a 2 hour bayan, 2.5 hour bayan, the maximum we will absorb will be about 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes, and thereafter we are blank. And most of the times our desire will be that when does this speaker now end? So we have to take all these things into consideration. But tonight, together with that, is also another problem, and this is just out of information. We must not complain of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We can complain to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala of our weakness, our sickness. We complain to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I'm extremely weak, give me shifa, sehat, forgive my sins. Now all those things we turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and we beg of Him. If a person has to go to the doctor and we say nobody must complain about anything, now he goes to the doctor said, why did you come? He says, Subhanallah. Then he says, but what is the reason for your coming? You came, you made an appointment. He says, Alhamdulillah. Obviously, now that is not the right place to say Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. At that time the person will say, I've got an ache in my head, I've got a stomach ache, or I'm suffering from heart problem or liver or kidney problem or whatever problem. The person will say to the doctor, now that is not going against the grain of sabr, as we say. There is a need for that. If he does not say that, how is the doctor going to treat him? But he's not complaining of Allah Ta'ala. He believes that whatever Allah Ta'ala's decision is the best of all decisions. So therefore, tonight it's not going to be a very lengthy Mi'raj bayan, because that requires a lot of time. We have to discuss the different aspects. And in this masjid, from the time that it was established, I don't know how many times we have gone into detailed discussion. But unfortunately, tonight I'm not in that state of health to go into the detailed discussion. And at the same time, you yourselves have been working the whole day, and then you had a Jummah bayan, and now the Isha is so close between Jummah and Isha, so therefore I will have a very short discussion of some of the important aspects, whatever Allah Ta'ala will put in my mind. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala give me the strength to say that, which is beneficial with ikhlas. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Mi'raj. Now as I said that there is so much that we can discuss prior to Mi'raj, the Mi'raj itself and after the Mi'raj. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this verse of the Quran Sharif, he discusses the first part of this journey that Allah ta'ala took his servant, and the word that is used is abd. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the perfect servant, the perfect slave of Allah Ta'ala. When we use this word slave, normally our mind goes into different directions. But here it means that if there is anybody that totally submitted himself to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that there was no question of my desire, it was whatever my Allah desired, then it was Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his speech was that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had revealed upon him. It was wahi. وَمَا يَنْفِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's walk, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's talk, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dealings, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's relationship with his wife, with his children, with his neighbors, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's jihad, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's every action was as if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was guiding everything along. Like how a very, very beloved father or mother or beloved parents or parents with full affection, compassion and love, how they want to see that every aspect of a child's life must be disciplined. How they would like to see the child grow up in the perfect way. But they cannot make any child perfect. But here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it was as if he was grooming Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore Allah ta'ala took away Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's father before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even came into this world. He came into this world as a yatim, as an orphan. Then a person would normally turn towards the mother. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took the mother away too. Allah ta'ala took his grandfather away too. Everyone gone. By the time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the age of 10, all these people on whom he could have laid some kind of support, they all gone. So that nobody can say that I educated him, I brought him up, I groomed him, I gave him this, I gave him that, nothing. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took him along. But now that is a different angle to it. Let's get back. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he knew why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going through all these very, very difficult testing and trying times. So difficult, honestly, believe me if I'm telling you, that if you have to really go to the source, go to the Hadith Sharif, go to those Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recorded in the different authentic books of Hadith, it's so difficult to even read. Because our mind always will go on to the fact that if a person dearly loves someone, then you don't want to see that person hurt, injured. Does anybody love to see anyone hurt and injured? Nobody will like that. Who will like to see that? Will anybody like to see his child being tortured or stones being thrown at him? Someone that's beloved to you. So then this question arises, then why was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put through these type of tests and trials? Was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not powerful and almighty? Could he not have sent one angel to destroy all these people that were troubling Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? But it was for the ummah that was going to come. That means this deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was so precious and so valuable that this ummah that was going to come was going to go through different kinds of tests and trials. Therefore, without following any kind of procedure, whatever will come in the mind, I will just discuss it. As I said, I'm just going very, very briefly today. So if you have to look at the Mi'raj itself also, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made to meet certain Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and not all. We are not going from the beginning now. That if you have to look at it in the light of what I was just discussing, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made to meet certain Anbiya. Yet when he went into Masjid al-Aqsa, the 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam plus minus were all there. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told to make the imamat, to lead that congregation of all the Anbiya, all the prophets of the past. Allah Ta'ala gathered them. Now how he gathered them, just as Allah Ta'ala created mankind, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent those prophets to this world, he gave them life, so what was it difficult for him to again gather them there? Or whether it was the Surah Misali and all the explanation that's given, but they were there, and Allah Ta'ala wanted to show that the Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, is Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Therefore, the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam put him forward to make the imamat of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So as far as that was concerned, it was clearly shown that he is Sayyidul Anbiya. Then again, if you look at the height that he was taken, so the mankind was going to make a lot of progress, technical progress, technology, science and everything else was going to progress. We never heard of the kind of technology in the past, as we listen to in these days. Every day, look at the new invention, look at the new technology. Just take one little cell phone. There's teams and teams of people that are working on new technology, because people get tired. They buy one today, and they get tired the next day. So they must have another one the next day. So it must have something new. In everything, there must be some new technology. Now, how many teams are working? And look at the kind of technology. Look at the speed of things, the communication speed and everything else. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to show that irrespective of what progress you make in your technology, it's not haram. It's not a question of being haram if the technology is used correctly. So the technology will make progress. So then man could claim that now I am supreme. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He took him to such heights, that nobody can even imagine. At the most, all our sun, moon, stars and everything else, it is suspended well below the first heavens. Nobody has gone above that. Many times I have mentioned that if you have to look at the speed of light, it's 186,000 miles per second. And 240,000 miles away is our moon. That's all. Now from there, how long does it take for the light of the moon to come down onto the earth? 1.5 seconds. If you take the sun, you take all the other stars. There are some stars, they say, thousands of light years away. Even if you have to take all that calculation of those light years, the one Nuri year, according to which this Wahi is calculated, is unbelievable what our imagination cannot even reach there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken to such heights that no matter what progress man makes in technology, he will have to still accept that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was the greatest. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the greatest after Allah. There was nobody that came into this world more perfect and greater than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Many, many times you have heard, na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Agar Muhammad na hota, to kuch bhi na hota. In fact, whatever mankind is using on the surface of the earth or in the skies, all the satellites that they are putting into the skies, all the technology that we have because of the satellites, and all the cables that they lay under the oceans, and everything else that you can think of, what is man doing? He's making use of some creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nothing else. He has to make use of some creation of Allah ta'ala. He's going to make use of the water, he's going to make use of the earth, he's going to make use of sand, stone, or whether the person is making use of gold, silver, platinum, uranium, diamond, whatever it is. Whose creation it is. And for whom did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala create all this? Would he have created all this if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to come into this world? لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكِ. There may be some discussion on the authenticity of the words of this Hadith Sharif, but the mafhum is correct. That if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had not desired to send Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then nothing would have been created. So again it comes to the same thing, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as the greatest, after him the most perfect human being. So therefore his journey had to be also the perfect journey. No person in this world could have ever traveled the journey that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam traveled. Otherwise people would have said that I went up 160,000 feet above sea level, that other person would have said I landed on the moon, another one would have said I landed on Mars, and somebody would have said I went further. Then somebody would have said that if all these people went so high, then Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was na'uzubillah, not of that height. So Allah ta'ala showed it, that see what height he took him to. So what I was discussing is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meet certain anbiya, and not all, when he went to the heavens. There he met all the 124,000 but and made their imamat. But there when he went to the first heaven, he saw that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The first heaven, it was Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is the first Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the first human being that was created. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was in Jannat, and then he came onto this earth and then he went back to Jannat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was showing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that you are the most beloved son of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, they were like a shadows on his right and on his left. When he used to look on his right, then he used to smile and be very happy. And when he looked on his left, he was very sad. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed that these people on the right are those who are believers, those who accepted Islam, those who obeyed Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they will go to Jannat. So Hazrat Adam, being the father of all, he expresses great happiness that these children of mine, mashallah, they were obedient, they will go to Jannat. And when he looks on the left, then he sees the disbelievers, he sees those who rejected Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and thereafter they are going to go to Jahannam, so he becomes sad. That is what a father should be, that he should be happy and pleased if his children are going in the direction of Jannat, in the direction of the gardens of paradise. Then he should be happy and pleased. And if they are going in the wrong direction, they should be sad about it. Not that the father and mother also become supporters of those children in their evil deeds and actions, as is so commonly witnessed these days. It's immediately we are shown that. In fact, the trip of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was going, some say it was at that time, and others have said on his return, he said he felt very, very thirsty after coming out from Masjid Al-Aqsa. So he was presented with water, and he was presented with wine, and he was presented with milk. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and some have mentioned two things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took milk. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that you have adopted that which is fitrah. If you had taken wine, then your whole ummah would have gone astray. That means Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was the Sayyidul Anbiya also, and he was Khatamul Nabiyyin also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he had adopted the wrong action in his life, then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says that your ummah also would have gone astray. There's a great lesson in there for those who call themselves scholars, or for those people who preach, for those people who sit on the mimbers, or for those people like myself who sit and give bayans and waz and nasihat, that a lot depends on such people, that in whichever direction they are going to go, the ummah will follow. There will be a large following in whichever direction the person goes. Whoever is considered a scholar, if he is going to go in the right direction, there will be a following. And if he is going to go in the wrong direction also, there will be a following. It's not a question that everybody will follow only that which is haq and the truth. If that is the case, then how many people in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how many of us are following nafs and shaitan in our lives? Are we not following nafs and shaitan in our lives? So if that is the case, then what about the scholars? What about those who are supposed to be leaders of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Those who are supposed to be showing the direction towards Jannat. Now if they are going to go in the direction of Jahannam, then there will be a large number of people who will say that that Maulana sahab, that Mufti sahab, that Qari sahab, that Haji sahab, that Tabligh sahab, that Khanqa sahab, all these people were that same, that direction of the Jahannam. So therefore we followed them. But that will not be an excuse. But this is a very clear thing mentioned, that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had adopted that, then he said, your ummah would have gone astray. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep us on sirat and mustaqeem. We all have got our weaknesses, we all have got our shortcomings, we all have got our faults. There's nobody perfect. But the greatest thing to do is to acknowledge our weakness and shortcoming and faults and not make a mockery of deen. My respected brothers, you have come here and I've got great love for you and great compassion and affection in my heart. And I sincerely make deep-hearted dua for everyone. So therefore, I'm just warning you, and I've given this warning already in the other bayans also, that if a person is committing a sin, then at least don't justify it. We are weak. Say, oh Allah, it's my weakness, it's my shortcoming. Look at all the hadiths on Jahannam that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in the night of Mi'raj when he saw what was in Jahannam. Now will we say that he was orthodox, na'uzu billah? Will we say Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was conservative? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not know in what kind of age we are going to live, and therefore he mentioned that. And on the other hand, look at the number of ahadith and the number of sayings of what he saw in Jannat, what gardens and hoors and palaces and rivers flowing and honey and water and everything else, and all the enjoyment and no pain and no suffering and just happiness and pleasure. Now that he mentioned of Jannat also. So there was a balance. So here what I am saying is that acknowledgement. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. He malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai. Sometimes we are expressing great happiness and satisfaction and we are praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Ya Allah, you gave us the tawfiq to do good deeds. You gave me the tawfiq to make my salat, to give my zakat, to perform my hajj, to be good and kind to the family members, to neighbors, to society, to look after the widow, poor, orphan, need, whatever good deed the person did. And kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai, and sometimes I'm acknowledging my weakness that indeed, my Allah, I have been extremely negligent and weak and indifferent. It is just your kindness and your mercy and your compassion and your forgiveness and your tolerance that you did not seize me there and then, whereas you had the power, you showed it around the world, how you can shake up the ground beneath the feet, how you can shake up the palaces, and how you can cause the wells to flow and flow and flow. And all the technology of the Americans cannot stop that oil gushing forth. And you have such power that if you just cause the ash to go into the skies, then look at the damage that it can do to aeroplanes that it can't even fly. All the technology comes to a standstill. Oh Allah, you showed it in the tsunamis that how hundreds of thousands of people got washed away. You showed it in Haiti, you showed it in China, you showed it in so many different parts of the world. You could have shaken the ground beneath our feet when we were engaging in sins and vices and evils. It was just your tolerance. My Allah, I'm expressing my weakness. I'm turning towards you. I'm making a tiraf of my qusur. I'm acknowledging my weakness. If the person does that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the doors of maghfirat also. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give the person hidayat also. But to make statements of a nature which makes our hair stand on end, I receive so many letters from different people, anonymous. And some of them are writing there that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had been present, he too would have been at the stadium. He too should have been at the stadium. What are you talking about, all this World Cup thing? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he had been, another one writes, If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Khulafa'i Rashideen, if they had only come in this world, into this world, this part of the time, then they should have also integrated and they should have been with us in all those evils that they were watching. But he said they should have been there. And so many different things. Somebody wants to say that lots of people are required in kurtas, in daris, in topis, in niqabs, in hijabs and everything else to come and make some dua and fatiha for the success of the bafanas. This is what I'm saying. That we must be very, very careful what kind of statements we are making. And there are some of them, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala have mercy. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives a rope, He gives a long rope, carry on how far you can go. And suddenly He can tighten it. So all I'm saying is that we are weak. We have our shortcomings, we have our faults. Don't justify, that's all I'm saying, don't justify. Acknowledge our weakness and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive, He is merciful. But don't do it deliberately, don't do it purposely. The person who knows that something is going to cause him harm, and accidentally if he got harmed is different, but doesn't purposely keep doing the same thing. Now look at, please forgive me, I don't know why my mind is going in that direction, but because we know Masjid al-Aqsa is connected with this. And I'm talking to you as a father, please remember that, I'm not criticizing, I'm not condemning, but if these things are not said, then sometimes our mind also doesn't function right. But I want to ask you, and honestly this is not my pattern of speech on a Miraj night, but I have to ask you, that we know that Masjid al-Aqsa, what is the situation? The siege of Masjid al-Aqsa. Sometimes we have programs upon programs upon programs. We were all discussing the flotillas very recently. We are discussing about the murders and the killings of the by the Israelis. We are talking about how basic necessities and things are not being allowed into Palestine. How our brothers, sisters and little babies and children are suffering. How their blood is just draining. All those things. We know it. Who does not know it? And then what do we say? We say we must be at the stadium with a Palestinian scarf. Spend 8,000 rands or thousands of rands. Thousands of rands. Those Palestinians who are watching on the television there, we are telling them, oh you brothers and sisters, we cry for you. But we got thousands of rands, hundreds of thousands we can spend here for a 90-minute match. Let your blood flow. We expressed our appreciation for the jihad that you are making there and for the sacrifices that you are making there. And we are with you, we support you fully and we will cry for you. But we can't forego this enjoyment and entertainment, spending hundreds of thousands. Where is our aqal? Again, brothers, don't misunderstand me. I'm not considering myself pious, righteous. Billions of dollars, billions of rands, stadiums were built, billions of rands. Whose money? Taxpayers' money. Now one person says that the taxpayers' money, but you all didn't pay any taxes, so therefore you mustn't worry about it. Now which person is safe from tax today? The poorest of the poor is paying so much of taxes. Poorest of the poor. As I said, the two things are certain. One is death and one is tax. These two things are certain. But believe me, brothers, billions of rands, first of the taxpayers' money. And thereafter, again, billions of rands were taken from the taxpayers by way of tickets. Then millions of rands. Some say it's past 100 million rand worth of taxpayers' money was again spent on buying tickets, all the departments, the different departments. Just look at that, 100 million plus. So the stadiums were filled again with the taxpayers' money. And thereafter, Mr. Blatter, or whoever he is going to take away billions without paying any tax. And people will then just look at those stadiums. Is this justice? Where is insaf? Look at the zulm. And this is what I'm worried about and concerned about. that when Muslims will regard zulm and injustice as something that is acceptable, and we will support injustice and zulm, then we must be prepared for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab to come. But with the du'as of people and with the charities and with istighfar and tawbah, Allah ta'ala removes it. So that is all I am saying, that we are all weak. I know that lots of people won't like what I am saying now. But I didn't plan it, I didn't decide it, but if it comes to mind, then I'm going to say it. So we get back to the Mi'raj incident, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is what I was saying, that when he looked on his right, he looked on his left, so that was the lesson for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam on the second heaven. Now again, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam was troubled by the Jews unlimited, until finally they assassinated him, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. The same if you look at Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Jews wanted to put him onto the cross. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took him away to the heavens. But the Jews wanted to take him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala saved him. Now the same people, we all complain, but it's the same people that we are supporting. So they did the same thing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being shown in Mi'raj that just as these Jews gave a terrible, terrible time to these Anbiya, in the same way they will give you a very, very difficult time. Look at the trouble and the hassle and the problems that the Jews created for Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every angle, even if you take the battle of the different battles that took place, especially the battle of Trench and the other battles, it was again the same Jews. They went to Makkah Sharif, they brought people from that side, they united, they made confederation and coalition and whatever you can think of, everything. The same Jews. Then again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he goes on to the third heaven, there he was shown Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, there's a whole history we all know, that his brothers wanted to get rid of him. Due to jealousy, they wanted to get rid of him. So they put him into the well there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala somehow saved Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But when he comes out again, he is sold in the marketplace, then he goes into the prison. Now that long history of jealousy, treachery, malice, greed, and arrogance, and pride, and everything else that you can think of. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shown that just as this servant of mine, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he was put through all these kind of trials and tests and all, but finally he was the one that was given the kingdom, and he was given the rule. And when the brothers came before him after that, he said, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. He said, that is exactly what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam we can see in his life. That there was so much of jealousy, so much of malice, so much of greed, and so much of arrogance of the Quraysh, and everything that you can think of. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala finally put love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam into their hearts, and finally they accepted Islam. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the same thing at the Fatah Makkah time, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm, no revenge. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, then he meets Hazrat Harun, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the seventh. Now all these people, there was some great wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and there's great history that has been written. And if we take each one, we can go on talking the whole night. But I'm not going into that. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is, they say the Mi'raj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His transport from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, that means from Baytullah Sharif to Masjid al-Aqsa, was on Buraq. This Buraq was a very, very special animal brought for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And there are great details. And from there to the first heaven, and some have said right through, it was the Mi'raj. The Mi'raj was like a lift. Now there's great description given of the Mi'raj itself. Now those days they couldn't have understood all these kind of things, that what is this Mi'raj, and what is this lift, and what is the speed of Buraq, that where the gaze falls, that's its first step. But in these times of rockets and spaceships and everything else, it has become so easy. And especially with our 200-300 floor buildings nowadays, so the person just gets into the lift and presses one button and next thing is right up. So it has become easy for us to understand. Even the heart that was removed of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was washed in the water of Zamzam, and then it was replaced. So now this also, in those days, might have been very difficult to understand. But now it has become like a big joke. As far as bypasses are concerned, we say it's so simple and easy. But we must remember that whatever bypass anybody does here, or transplant anybody does here, he still has to use so much of different equipment and everything else. He has to put the person into the theater, he has to, and it will take hours, and it will, after that, to heal also, and all the details with it. Here, whatever happened to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a mu'jaza, that within a short period of time, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, from Masjid al-Aqsa above the seven heavens, brought to the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed to him whatever he wanted to reveal. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody could have reached such a kind of height. And that is where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then gave him the gift. Besides the other gifts, he was given the gift of this five salat. That five salat which we are making a football of and a mockery of today, that was given there. And it was given to the ummah so that they may be able to draw from the treasures of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. First it was 50 and it was due to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's persuasion that up and down he went and it was reduced to 5. Other way we could have read 50. But the difficulty is this, that we don't consider it as a gift. We consider it as some kind of great burden and imposition upon us. And we believe that it was nice if it had been just one salat or just two salat. Whereas, take all the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu anhu majmain. Take Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself. He said, Qurratu ayni fi salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he really enjoyed his salat. There was some enjoyment and satisfaction that he got. It was Mi'rajul Mu'mineen. For the believers, it was Mi'raj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got his Mi'raj up. Our Mi'raj is when we put our forehead in sajda. Look at the number of incidents in the lives of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In the most difficult of situations, where there was absolutely no way that he could have come out from that difficulty and hardship. But they knew so well that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave them salat. So they performed the salat with dedication, with conviction, with yaqeen. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with his power and with his qudrat and with his might, he took them out of such difficult conditions. Look at all the assistance and help that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them through salat in the battlefields and other places. So this is a gift, it's a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. That is where we will bring life into these dead hearts. The only way we can please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and we can draw from his treasures. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the moment any kind of difficulty, he straight away hastened towards salat. Look at all the different things mentioned in the hadith Sharif. Eclipse, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making salat. Any kind of problem, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making salat. So this salat was a great gift. One hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-Jafa, kull al-Jafa. Man samia munadi Allahi yunadi ila salat, fala yujibuhu. In fact, after kull al-Jafa, he says, well, kufr wa nifaq. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is using these words. The person who hears the azan, the munadi of Allah ta'ala, is calling Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's munadi, is calling towards salat. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person, if he doesn't respond to that, then his kufr and nifaq. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, As-salatu imadu ad-deen. Man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-deen. Wa man tarakaha faqad taraka ad-deen. Wa man hadamaha faqad hadama ad-deen. Now all these type of hadith shayis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that there is no shay in Islam for a person who doesn't have salat. Now what is the condition of our salat? So this Mi'raj is not just some kind of fairy tales that we have to speak here. We should take lessons, we should try and change our life, we should turn towards Allah Ta'ala, start making our salat, asking for forgiveness, as I said, اَعْتِرَافِ قُسُورِ. He really loves the person who acknowledges his mistake and asks him for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala loves them. میرا ہر خطا پہ رونا یہی ہے میری تلافی، تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم آف و کرنا. My crying over every sin and weakness of mine, that is the only thing I have, my beloved Allah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given this salat. And then of course he was shown Jannat, Jahannam and everything in all the things that he was shown. Many times we have discussed, especially when it comes to what he was shown in Jahannam, what kind of suffering people were going through. People whose heads were being smashed with boulders, and then it comes right again and smashed again. He was told that these are the people whose heads used to get very heavy when the time of Salat used to come. Or people whose stomachs used to be very, very huge and blown. And the moment they try to get up, they fall again with the weight of that. And he was told that these are the people that you should take interest. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown how people's tongues were being cut with scissors of fire. And so these were the wa'izin of your ummah, those people who used to create friction and division and fight and quarrels and with their speeches. Now we are not talking about Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif if they mention. We are talking about those who used to just create friction and fight in the discussions and everything else. In the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those people who made ghibat, and especially those people who are engaging in zina, that how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that on the one side there's nice, delicious, well-cooked meat, beautiful aroma, beautiful fragrance, and on the other side decaying, absolutely filthy meat, which is, the stench and smell was sufficient to go close to eat that kind of meat. But people were being forced to eat that kind of meat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that these are the people of your ummah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed them with halal wives, pak and pure wives. But they used to leave them and go to those prostitutes, and just explaining. Or they used to go to those women who were haram for them. The illicit love relationships, which are so common these days. How people are going and visiting the escort agencies and everywhere else. So now all these things were shown. It was not just for no reason. And then Nabi alayhi salatu was coming back, and then the questioning by the people that how did he go in such a short time here, there and everywhere. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, what are you questioning? Because I have believed that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes right from the arsh and down to the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in a short while, and he goes back, as mentioned in different kitabs, of the number of times that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam visited Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. All the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, some of them, or some of the major Anbiya, somebody 4 times, somebody 10 times, somebody 50 times, somebody 400 times. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 124,000 visits of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. What Nabi Allah ta'ala gave to us. So my respected brothers, I will say that the great gift of namaz, and of course the ayat of Surah Baqarah, and we can go on and on and on. But at least, let us make some start with 5 times salat in our lives. Let us make a start. That whatever happens, Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Just to give the gist of it, that Allah Ta'ala is not saying we must not trade, we must not do business, we must not transact. Allah Ta'ala is praising those people. But what kind of people? رِجَالُ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٍ. Their business deals, their transactions, their buying, their selling, and all these things, it does not divert them from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It does not divert them from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَلَا بَيُونَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَيَقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ, and the establishment of salat and the giving of zakat. They fear that day on which the hearts and the eyes will be overturned. Therefore I mentioned in one bayan, I said the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in, that was their condition. But why they were not disturbed in the salat like we are disturbed? We make Allahu Akbar and up till the end we don't even know what happened. Until the Imam makes salam. Then we get up. Now they, For them, that business was also ibadat. The transactions were also ibadat. In their buying and selling also, it was all ibadat. So from one ibadat, they came out and now they went into namaz, which is another ibadat. And for us, we don't consider that as an ibadat. We say that's a different world. Islam must not talk about other issues. Islam must only talk about our namaz. That's all. That is our weakness. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and all the tawfiq of amal. Get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through this salat. Make sincere tawbah from sins. We don't say stand on your one leg and make some wazifas. Just put a little pressure on the heart and on the nafs to stay away from sins. And believe me, I can take billion qasams in this masjid that we will be the beneficiaries. The sukoon that Allah Ta'ala will give in our hearts, irrespective of outside condition, whether the person is poor or whether he is rich, whether he is black or he is white, whether he is sick or he is in good health, whether he has got something or he has got nothing, whether he is in prison or the person is enjoying some other ni'mats. But inside the heart, and that is where Allah Ta'ala gives it so that the outside people do not even know what he's got inside his heart. Such sukoon, such tranquility, such peace, such happiness, such enjoyment that the person will wish that there's nobody around him, it's just himself and his Allah. There's such enjoyment. I don't have it. I'm just trying to get it. But I'm telling you the truth that all those people, if you have to read their histories, there's such enjoyment. We just have to, because of reasons, meet everybody, talk to everybody and go everywhere and everything. But otherwise, that person who has got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his heart, then he's got the gardens of Jannat in his heart. What are the gardens? And I conclude on that. It's a mana ke meer gulshan hai, jannat to dur hai. Arif hai magar dil mein khaliq hai jannat liye ho. O meer, I know that the gardens of jannat are far away. But the one who has recognized is Allah, then he has got Allah himself in his heart, who is the creator of all those jannats. We may think they are very weak. Those anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam outwardly, people thought they were weak, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was with them. May Allah ta'ala bless me, bless you and the ummah at large with the tawfiq of amal. And whatever I said, if in between certain things were said which may have been or caused some offense to somebody, then I ask you to make me maaf. But the fact is that I don't apologize for it, because I truly believe that this World Cup has been a fitna of a kind which has taken away the iman of many, many people. Lots of people say, wait, we can't see, where did the iman go? Now they even make statements like that. If a person considers a sin as a sin, then his iman is intact. Then we will say he's committing a major sin. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive him, ask for maaf. But when we consider sins as something that is permissible, then it is a dangerous thing. We can't find justification. Singing, dancing, music, nudity, shamelessness, obscenity and all the other kinds of haram. I mentioned this afternoon also that the purpose of salat, it was supposed to prevent us and protect us and safeguard us from indecent, shameless, obscene deeds and action. That was the purpose of salat. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. And what is our condition? I'm talking about my condition, your condition. That we say, first make salat and then we'll go cinema. First make salat, then we'll go disco. First make salat, then I'll go and visit that prostitute. First I'll make my salat, then I will switch on the porn site. First I'll make my salat, then I'll watch that movie. Isha time, so I must make my salat first, azan is gone. As soon as I come back, then I will go to the other haram establishment. And that is our condition. Whereas salat was supposed to protect and prevent. So it shows there's something seriously wrong with our salat and not anything wrong with salat. So let us bring the right kind of salat which prevents us from stealing, gambling, fornication, adultery, fraud, corruption and all other kinds of haram.
وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.
Just 2-3 minutes will make zikrullah and then we'll start.
Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah, jalla jalaluhu. Allah, 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 Allah. Ya Rab, karam se apne tu dono jahan de, jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Oh my beloved Allah, with your fazal, with your kindness, with your ihsan, give us the best of both worlds, the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. And we who are deserving of your wrath, of your punishment, of your anger, because of our deeds and our actions, and because of our evils. But my beloved Allah, you are so merciful, so forgiving, so loving, so kind. Therefore, my Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and also give us amnesty. جو مستحق غضب کا ہے اس کو امانہ دے. اللہ 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 Allah, 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 Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. یا ارحم الراحمین یا اکرم الاکرمین یا غیاث المستعین یا ذا الجلال والاکرام یا ذا الجلال والاکرام یا ذا الجلال والاکرام یا بلاول اللہ یا رحیم اللہ یا کریم اللہ یا موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ یا موسٹ کمپیشنیٹ موسٹ لوینگ موسٹ کیئرنگ موسٹ بینیفیسنٹ موسٹ مرسیفل موسٹ ٹالرنٹ اللہ. We are turning towards you. You dearly love the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not bragging about our sins. We are not justifying our sins. My beloved Allah, save us and protect us from bragging and justifying about our sins. Ay Rabbe Kareem, we are ashamed. Hum nadim hai. We know that you blessed us with sight, you blessed us with hearing and speech, you blessed us with our heart, liver and lungs all functioning, you blessed us with our hands and our feet all moving. My beloved Allah, you blessed us with the wealth, you blessed us with all the bounties, and we are using the same ni'mats, the same bounties for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, we have become arrogant, we have become proud,
My beloved Allah, nafs and shaitan have become dominant in our lives. But we are ashamed. We are acknowledging every sin of ours. Indeed, we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. There was no question of darkness for you. Even if a tiny little black ant crawls on a pitch black rock, in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. How can you not be aware of our movements, my Allah? You could have seized us there and then when we were committing adultery or fornication or popping drugs in our mouth or having wine or liquor or brandy. Oh, my beloved Allah, or we were watching some porn sites or we were engaging in any other kind of haram. You could have shaken the ground beneath our feet. You could have destroyed us there and then. But, my beloved Allah, you don't like punishment. You dearly love forgiveness of sins. You are full of mercy and forgiveness, my Allah. Therefore, we are turning towards you and seeking forgiveness of all our sins. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, our family members. Forgive the ummah of Nabiya Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat, my beloved Allah. Bless them with Islam and Iman. My beloved Allah, our actions and our deeds are such that we are the obstacles and we are preventing the entry into Islam of those people who would have entered if they had not seen such kind of actions from us. Ey Rabbi Kareem, don't question us on our weaknesses and shortcomings. Open the floodgates of forgiveness for us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. My beloved Allah, open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Ey Rabbi Kareem, bless us with shifa from all our sicknesses, ailments and diseases. Whosoever is in hospitals, in clinics, in homes, those who have undergone operations, those people who have met up with accidents, Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who are suffering from different kinds of problems, remove their pain and suffering. We know that sometimes the sickness and disease and weakness and accidents and other kind of problems can be a rahmat in disguise. But my beloved Allah, we are extremely weak. Even if it is a mercy in disguise, change it to the mercy of good health. Change it to the mercy of good wealth. Allah, change it to the mercy of strength. Ey Rabbi Kareem, make us yours and become ours. We have no other door besides your door. My beloved Allah, we have no other door besides your door. Our life in your control, our sight in your control, our hearing in your control, our speech in your control, our heart, liver and lungs all in your control. The ground on which we walk is in your control. The heavens and the earth is in your control. Ey Rabbi Kareem, therefore there is no other door for us besides your door. We are tapping at your door, my beloved Allah. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Tere dar par tera banda ba ummeede karam aaya. Allah, we have come to your door. We acknowledge our weakness, for we have no other door besides your door. Make us yours and become ours. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of suffering he underwent until he was taken for Mi'raj. He returned and then he informed the ummah of what he saw in Jannat, what he saw in Jahannam. Ey Rabbi Kareem, we have shown no consideration and appreciation for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sacrifices. Before he was taken for Mi'raj, 3 solid years of boycott and ostracism. The time came for his companions himself to chew leaves of trees for survival. Ey Rabbi Kareem, then his uncle passes away. His wife, beloved Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, passes. Nothing but torture, suffer. Ey Rabbi Kareem, when he makes hijrat also, battle of Badr, battle of Uhud, battle of Khandaq. In the battle of Uhud, the pins of the helmet penetrate his jaws. His teeth are shattered. He falls down unconscious. But yet he prays and he prays and he prays for us. Ay Rabbi Kareem, how much he prayed for us, how much he cried for us, how much of his blood was shed for us. Ay Rabbi Kareem, make us understand. Make each and every one of us obedient to you and your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of Akhirah. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, barakat in our life, barakat in our time. Rabbi Kareem, the families have been all split and disunited and shattered. Ay Rabbi Kareem, unite the hearts of husbands and wives, brothers and children, parents. Ay Rabbi Kareem, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents and children, the ummah of Nabiyya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless entire mankind with hidayat. For those who have made up their minds, they will not accept Islam. And they will continue with the oppression, tyranny and suppression of the ummah. Especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Sudan, Somalia. All parts of the world, my beloved Allah. Ay Rabbi Kareem, while the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the Yahud and the Nasara are ganging up against the ummah. Ay Rabbi Kareem, banning of the burqas in France, banning of the burqas in Belgium. And so many other restrictions are being placed on the ummah in different parts of the world. Ay Rabbi Kareem, so much of difficulties and obstacles placed in their path on practicing Islam. And yet, my beloved Allah, our condition is this, that we are still fully supporting, my beloved Allah, the kuffar, the mushriki, the yahood and the nasara. Hamare haal par raham farma, karam farma. Bless us all with sihat, with afiyat, with salamati, with barakat, with rahmat. Ay Rabbi Kareem, we have to part, we have to depart from this world someday. Our death is sure to come, and suddenly the visas of life are being taken away. Ay Rabbi Kareem, when the time of our death comes, which we do not know when it will come, don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, or any kind of haram establishment or haram place. We don't know when the angel of death will strike. Daily we are listening of sudden death, sudden death, sudden death. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with Shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with Baryal in Baqi. But if it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us. And the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations, the tamanna that is in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, aspirations, tamanna. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the weakness, the tests and the trials of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. We cannot know, but you know, my Allah. With your fazal, with your kindness and ihsan, remove the pain, suffering, difficulties, hardships and problems. Those who have passed away, fill their graves with noor. Bless them with Jannat al-Firdaus. Give sabr jameel, ajr azim to the family, kith and kin. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيقنا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.